you never heard of.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
Here we are as I'm sitting here itching my freaking mosquito bites. What? We got them all over. Oh. They were so bad in Colorado.
I feel like they haven't been bad here at all.
No, gosh. I agree. They haven't.
They haven't been bad. We've sat out almost every night.
I actually came back, and the first thing as we jumped out of the car, I wanted to say, don't forget you're off, because we were so...
conditioned.
Yes. Aww. To just spray.
I would bet with the amount of rain that we've got like over the last week, we're probably going to start seeing them.
We're new.
Yeah. Oh. But it's been so dry here.
It has.
Yeah. So that's what's been keeping them away. I don't know. In Colorado, they had record snowfall. So everything's melting. It's all coming down the mountain. It's overfilling the reservoirs. There's almost like swamp land everywhere up in the mountains. And it's breeding them.
We did a lot of fishing. Ground.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to Wyoming next week, so I'm sure it's going to be awful.
With the family?
With my girls, yeah. Okay. Taking them hiking.
Oh, that will be fun.
It is fun. We go every year. My grandma and my mom, my grandma is crazy. Like, she four wheels, she hikes.
How old is she?
She's almost 80.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So if folks listened to the previous episode that we recorded, I feel like, you know, you had said a couple of different times, like, I'm not really sure, like, where this came from. I'm not really sure why I am the way I am. And we hit on a couple of things.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about grandma.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but now
she skipped a generation, for sure.
See, all of this is starting to come into the picture.
She's crazy. She tells me, I'm like, okay, like, when are we going to start being a little bit more careful? Like, she still wants to, there's a 13,000 foot peak in Snowy Range that, like, we've always gone to Snowy Range ever since I was a kid. She takes us out there. And she told me this summer, she's like, when are we going to tent camp again, Christina? Because I'm all for it, like, sleeping on the ground. But I'm like, Grandma, you probably shouldn't be sleeping on the ground anymore. But she's the person, like, she's like, I'm going to die on a mountain. And she goes, just let me die.
She's 80?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, man.
Yep. Yeah.
She's wanting to hike and tent
camp
in the mountains.
Oh, she does it all. You can't stop it. Like, my mom has even been like, well, maybe we should start slowing down a little bit. She's like, no. And she still, she goes four-wheeling up there in the fall, and then snowmobiling and snowshoeing in the winter. Like, she's, we definitely
so
skipped
crazy.
A generation. And she's an adrenaline junkie.
And she lives there or no?
No.
Okay.
She lives in Stromsburg still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. She's an adrenaline junkie.
Gave me a mental picture of a gal that we used to buy little baby pheasant chicks with, because we'd always try to repopulate our ranch or just kind of supplemental populate, you know, to help that population kind of come back. And whenever we'd go by them, this gal, and she was over 90 at the time, and she's just this little old lady, and she just hops on her four-wheeler, just drives like crazy down the ditch of a road from her house to the barns. And then, you know, she's like 90-something, she jumps off, and she's like scurrying all these little pheasants into the net. Like, she's just, I'm like, how old? Like, I'm thinking 67, maybe? Nope, 92. I'm like, whoa!
That will be my grandma. Like, she's going down to Nashville with friends. Like, it's like someone's 50th birthday party and she got invited. She's just like that person.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I'm like, awesome. You're just crashing someone's 50th birthday. It's like someone locally in Stromsburg, but I'm like a bunch of 50-year-olds and an 80-year-old like hitting up Nashville. But that's my grandma. Like, she's
cool.
Crazy.
Now,
she's got some good stories.
Grandpa?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Is he as active?
He is very active. Yeah, he'll still hike. He loves to fish. And so he'll come with us just to fish with my girls. So, but yeah, he's still taking care of our whole, like, we've got a little lake house out by Stromsburg, and he's still out there doing all the stuff, and they won't slow down.
See, it's in your bloodline. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I don't know.
It's there.
And your parents?
Yeah.
Super active, track stars. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Don't you need to warm up? Still win the 400.
Right. So we're back with Christina Elder. As we talked about in the last podcast, just kind of how you came up and what you're doing today, and a subject that we got on the other podcast was about nutrition and diet and eating, so we wanted to dig into that a little bit more without making that episode too long. So just real quick, can you kind of recap what your accomplishments have been, just to establish for the audience, if they hadn't listened to the other episode, kind of what you've done lately, and then let's start digging into kind of how your diet looks and how you feel about it, and then also as a health teacher, you know, what you teach.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I am, I'm obviously a health teacher. So this is my 11th year in health and physical education. And I'm super passionate about that and love to continue to learn about all aspects, definitely when it comes to nutrition and preventative stuff in terms of stress management, nutrition, sleep management, that kind of thing, mental health. And I'm a track coach. This is my 10th year of coaching track. As the head coach at Platteview High School. I'm a mom of three and happily married to my husband of 10 years. And I am a semi-professional track athlete in the 400 and the 800 meter specializing. I have, I think, six national championships in the 800 and the 1500. So this will be my first nationals coming up in the four. And then I am a bronze medalist at Worlds in the 800 meters and a gold medalist in the 4x200 meter relay. So
perfect.
Yep.
There it is.
I mean,
doing something right, I guess.
That's accomplishments for a lifetime. And she's only 35, guys. Yeah, okay.
And you're not done.
Not done.
No.
So we got to talking a little bit about, I think the original question was something about like kind of the top few things that you would recommend to folks to focus on. You know, that you focus on, you know, mm-hmm. if they want to be elite or just do better. And one of those had to do with nutrition. And we started talking about that. And we were talking about you as a teacher, you know, where you're seeing the kids come in and they clearly didn't get good sleep and they're pounding these energy drinks and they're not eating good food and how that's affecting their performance in just class.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into that a little bit. Do you... Where do we start? What do you guys want to ask?
I don't know. I guess I'm thinking how has it changed since you said college? You were like, oh, yeah, I've done that a little bit in college.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that, did that just come over time with wanting to know more about nutrition and feel your body with better food? Like, how did you decide to get on this journey of being, you know what I mean, more educated about what your body needs to then, was it because you're teaching these kids, you know what I mean, in health?
Right. I would say the passion started earlier. So it started when I was in college.
It was.
Okay. I think a lot of it kind of started with the fact that how can I make my performances better? Like that was kind of my angle of like, okay, how can I get the best bang for my buck with my body and like feel good and be able to perform really well as an athlete? I think that's where it originated from. Mm-hmm. So it kind of was more of a, I guess, like a selfish driven thing in terms of like I just want. Right. It wasn't somebody, huh? Intrinsic. I was just really interested in knowing like for human performances mm-hmm. purposes. And so I just started kind of diving into nutrition. Unfortunately, like I kind of went the opposite way of what I'm doing now. So I went like really low fat. I was basically just eating like chicken and salads. But I was eating clean. So I wasn't eating a bunch of junk food. Mm-hmm. I was not eating enough, I found out. My protein was too low. My fat intake was way too low for a female. And I was just like, it was more of a like, all right, I want to stay lean. I want to stay fast. And I want to be able to perform well, but really I was not eating enough. And so I kind of found that out, by my senior year. I just had like hypoglycemia problems, which just means really low blood sugar plummets. And so I would be at practice and my blood sugar would just crash. And it would take a huge toll on my training. Like I just felt like foggy headed and I couldn't run. And so it was like, all right, I got to figure this out. Like, so obviously I'm having these major blood sugar crashes and uh-huh. I'm not fueling well. And so luckily, you know, I kind of like toyed around with a couple things and never really quite figured that piece out. And so into adulthood, like I luckily found some, you know, like doctors on Instagram, like Dr. Sean Baker, Dr. Paul Saladino, and they were really kind of pushing like, hey, like red meat is mm-hmm. there's so many nutrients in red meat. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I haven't like ate red meat in like years because I thought it was so bad for you.
Greasy, it's bad.
Yeah, it's greasy, man. It's fat. Like I'm not supposed
fat's
to eat
bad.
It.
Fat's bad. Fat's bad.
Yeah, I just believed that whole, you know, dogma that was going on for so long about like that, you know, this fat is gonna clog up your arteries and all this stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, luckily, I found them. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try it because I've been struggling with hypoglycemia and like poor fueling for so long. Luckily, I wasn't training really hard at the time because I was in the middle of having kids. Mm-hmm. But I still just wasn't feeling great. Like something was off hormone wise and just like I was just fatigued all the time. So I started eating red meat and it was like night and day.
Really?
And so I switched my diet completely and kind of took some of the processed I put a lot of, you know, like I was eating like Special K cereal thinking mm-hmm. that I was healthy, you know, and like granola and like all this stuff. It's just still processed, still boxed. But I thought I was doing the right thing, you know, just believing all the marketing, you know, hammering Clif bars and all that stuff. So
this might go down a way wrong alley, but would you agree then, like, especially the traditional food pyramid is just a bunch of lies?
No, it's a joke.
There we go. Yeah. And the new one, I think, is just as bad. You can see the people that follow the money, right? Follow the money.
Yeah.
The people that are paying for the studies and this stuff, they have a ventured interest. And Joe Rogan just talked about, we were talking about Joe Rogan, how I think that Special K sugary cereal was higher than just a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah.
It's like, so bad. No, it's not. Not at all. Not in any which way can you imagine.
Yeah, that's a whole new rabbit hole. But I do truly believe that there's all these interconnections between pharma and the American Dietary Guidelines. And, you know, it's like we need to go back to the holistic. It's like the fact, obviously our dietary guidelines are not working.
Mm-hmm.
Like proof.
Yeah.
Like it's like, look around us.
Yeah.
Like diabetes cases have skyrocketed in the last 60 years. I mean, there was no type 2 diabetes like back in like 1930. So like, it's just to me, I literally went full opposite the American Dietary Guidelines, and I eat what they, you know, it's called a carnivore diet. So I'm purely red meat and eggs, raw dairy. So I get raw dairy from a farm, and I still have like, you know, I find some good clean protein powders and stuff like that. And I'll still eat like fruit and stuff occasionally, but I generally do not eat vegetables unless it's like a homegrown potato, or I'll do some rice sometimes and stuff like that. But I have been, this is 4 years now, where I eat like 2 ribeyes in a day and like 5 eggs.
Wow.
Haven't died from heart disease.
And you've never felt better, right?
Never felt better.
I mean, I'm hearing a lot more about that.
That's interesting.
No, it's interesting. Why not veggies or add that much fruit?
And you guys, I'm actually on Dr. Sean Baker's podcast, and we kind of talk about that. But his book, The Carnivore Diet, is really intriguing. But he talks a lot about how, you know, some people can handle veggies really well. Mm-hmm. But they have what they call like plant defense chemicals in them. So plants don't want to be eaten. They want to protect their seeds. Mm. And so they have defense chemicals, which are your lectins, your oxalates, things like that, that cause disturbances like from like a biochemical level, like within your body and your intestines and stuff like that. So I was having a lot of bloating issues is what I was having, and skin issues.
Okay.
Couldn't figure out what it was. So I did this carnivore diet as an elimination test. And everything got better, and I tried to add some things back in, like fruit, and honestly, I can't do a lot of fruit anymore just because of all the glyphosate that's in our fruit. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's just how,
what's that
stuff?
Is that the, like the chemical treatment?
Yeah, like a chemical treatment.
Glyphosate? Is that what
glyphosate,
you're
talking? Yes. Okay, yep. Sorry, gotcha. I said it wrong. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. I can do homegrown stuff generally. Like if it's fruit, like I'll get it from a farmer's market and I handle it really well. But vegetables generally, definitely like leaves and stuff, like I just don't think they're optimal for humans. Like if we were out, you know, if we had no grocery stores, like generally, like, if you're going to eat leaves, that's going to be your last go-to. Like, it's just, you know, they say, oh, there's nutrients and stuff, but they're just, it's just not as bioavailable as a steak or meat or eggs. And so they just, honestly, like, leaves make me feel like crap. Like, spinach and kale just, like, made my stomach feel like crap.
Really?
So gross crap anyway. I'm just kidding.
I never liked it, to be honest. Some people do. It's fine.
So, I think this is, you were kind of touching on this a little bit, but, and I'm no food scientist or anything, like we're almost just kind of like, so let's rewind a little bit. We're in our 40s, just started our 40s.
Yes.
So we are kind of at this stage in our life where like, we're taking a hard look at food, you know, and figuring out, cause you're feeling different and you're not plowing through things like you used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been hearing a lot of different things. So one of the questions that I had, and maybe you know this, people talk about proteins, and you've mentioned proteins quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that say, you know, these plants have these proteins, and there's no reason why you need any of the meat protein. How do you address that?
If you look at, like, and I'll have to, like, I could send you guys some charts and stuff, but if you look at comparison graphs of, like, red meat versus plants that do have protein in them, just the bioavailability, and I am not a chemist either by any means, but the doctors will word this much better, but we just don't process that protein the same, and they're still missing things, like your B12s.
They're incomplete proteins.
They're incomplete proteins, and so they don't have all 9 essential amino acids, unless like soy does, but it's also not very bioavailable. Mm-hmm. Like when you ingest it, your body just isn't taking all the nutrients as well as if like you ate like, you know, a steak. And so your body's going to use all the nutrients from that steak so much easier than a plant. Like it goes in, then it like kind of clogs up in there, and there's so much fiber in it, and so your body's trying to like, you know, suck all the nutrients out, and it's just not as bioavailable. And then you have the toxins on top of it. So you have your phytin oxalates and lectins and things like that. Those are just natural defense chemicals that they have, whereas like if a cow eats grass or leaves, their digestive system is completely different than ours.
Yeah. Four stomachs.
Have four stomachs, and so they have more acid to really break down those chemicals and stuff that we just don't have. And so it can cause a lot of, you know, for me, it was causing bloating. Like for other people, it can, like they're even making arguments it can cause autoimmune disorders. So in people like Crohn's disease.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just, yeah, there's definitely protein located in plants, but it's just like, shoot, if I can get like way more protein, way more iron, and it's way more bioavailable from eating hamburger, then I'm going to eat that over like, you know, plant-based protein. So is even like a vegan is still going to have to supplement because you're just not getting B12, you know, and like things that are super vital, or like hemi iron. Like you need to be able to get like good proper iron, and the plants just don't have it the way red meat does. So
we're huge on meat. I mean, we've obviously we get our cow from.
I mean, in hearing what you're talking about, you know, it's kind of, and that's why I always like to talk to people that are doing different things. You know, in my mind, I almost feel like we eat too much meat because we have it.
No such
we
thing.
Have it. Well, and that's the thing, you know, I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Eat meat.
But we have it every meal.
Every meal.
You know, and there's, and I feel like one of the things that I struggle with is I feel like any problem in life comes from not doing it in moderation. So I feel like if I'm just going to massively consume this one thing over and over and over, it's going to eventually cause me trouble. But meat doesn't seem like it's one of those things that has done that.
But somehow, at our house,
that's good fuel, though. As I love how you think of that. It's fuel. You're fueling your body, your brain.
Like, but I feel like what's the most bioavailable?
I feel like at our house, though, and I think this is probably just the American way, meat, potato. You know, you have to have, like, some kind of carb. We don't always have to. Like, it could be meat and veggies, or like, what are you saying? You do meat and just maybe straight meat? Like, you would never do a
like, my husband will just grill me like a 16 ounce and I'll just eat the whole thing.
Do you do, like, how do you guys prepare it? Like you said, it's grilled. Do you do you season it? Do you do anything with it?
Butter and sea salt, just like a Redmond's real salt, like a purely just pure salt. He eats the same way that I do. And he's like thriving a lot more off of that too, because he had a lot of digestive problems, and he honestly doesn't really like vegetables, so he's like, eh, whatever. Like,
are the do the other meats come into play with you guys in your diets?
Yeah, we'll eat chicken. Like, we smoke chicken a lot. It's just tough with chicken to get really well sourced chicken, I guess, because a lot of the times they're eating a lot of seeds, and you know, like, well, they're. Or they're like infused with things, and so if you can get, like, we just try to go for organic chicken or something like that. But I love chicken, definitely on the smoker. Like, otherwise, I'm not a big, like.
You guys have a short hair, right? A dog, German short hair pointer. We need to get you guys out pheasant hunting. I mean,
I love pheasant.
Oh man, isn't that?
I love pheasant.
There you go.
So much. Yeah, my coworker, the other PE teacher at Plavue, he's a big pheasant hunter, and I'm hoping to go for the first time this fall.
Oh really?
I hope so. I just need to like. I need to practice, but and my dog is hopefully somewhat ready. He needs some more training too, but yeah, he brings back pheasant every year, and it's like my absolute favorite. I love pheasant. I love any wild game. I love deer. Bison, deer.
Same with wild turkey. We always prepare a wild turkey that we got from the season, the previous season, along with the regular turkey, the butterball things, and people just dive into that wild
one. Wild turkey.
It's gone.
It's just different.
And we always get these comments like, oh, What do you use with that? Was that poultry seasoning? No, that's the way a wild turkey tastes. Poultry seasoning is trying to mimic what a pheasant or a turkey naturally tastes like. Sure. Yeah, think about that.
That's interesting. Yeah. And that was going to be my next question. You kind of already answered it, but where does wild game stand in your thoughts?
Oh, I love wild game. It's just more of, and luckily I know quite a few people who like hunt deer, and so they'll bring me, you know, deer meat and stuff like that, like at school, like a lot of my students, I love it. They'll like take a whole week off from school just to go deer hunt. And I'm like, I love it. I love Plavu. It's like, you should go out and hunt with your dad. Mm-hmm. Like, go do that for a week.
Yeah. Go fishing.
Yeah, go fishing. Yeah. And so, yeah, they'll bring meat to school for me and stuff because Tyler's trying to really get back into hunting. It's just been tough because our kids were so little.
Yeah.
And then I'm training. And so bless him, he's always like taking the back seat, you know, and like, okay, I'll stay home. And, you know, so hopefully he can get out and go hunting a lot more, and I'm trying to train our dog, and so hopefully we can get out and I can eat more wild, because I love wild game. Love it. I'll eat pretty much any meat. I'm just not a big seafood person.
You're not. No. That was going to be my next question. And then your eggs.
I just
eggs,
don't love it. I love eggs.
Get those for like from the farm?
Yeah.
Or
like, so I have a friend that lives in our neighborhood who has chickens, and I'm hoping to have chickens next year and have my own.
We do love having our chickens out here.
Oh, it's so nice. Yeah. I want chickens so bad. Because, I'll probably eat 5 or 6 eggs in a day.
Oh wow.
I go through a lot of eggs. Yeah.
Okay.
Like a Rocky movie over here.
It is. It is. I eat a lot. I know it's so funny because, people, if you look at the standard, like, oh, you're going to die from clogged arteries, I would literally, like, my diet, you'd be like, that person's going to die because I'm heavy cream in the morning, like pure heavy cream, raw in my coffee. And I'll do like 2 big cups of that. And sometimes a little bit of butter in it if I need some more calories. And then I'm like 6 eggs in a day. I can do like a 16-ounce ribeye in a sitting as well. And or I'll do like 2 or 3 really big hamburger without the bun. Like I'll make like a chaffle waffle, like an egg waffles, and like eat it like it's a hamburger. So I eat a lot of food. I probably eat like over 3,000 calories
in
a day.
But how many calories do you think you're burning?
Oh, a lot. But, you know, like people, it's so funny because people will ask me, they're like, oh my gosh, you probably like you look like that or you can look like that because you work out all the time. I'm like, maybe 45 minutes an hour every day. Like, it's nothing crazy. It's like the standard, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym for an hour. And sometimes my workout is like sprint really hard, take a 7-minute rest, sprint, 7-minute rest. So it's not like I'm like hammering out miles or working out for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Like my workout schedule is pretty like people think I work out for 3 or 4 hours a day. And I'm like, nah, I just eat a lot of red meat and eggs and raw dairy, and I sprint for an hour.
And now why raw dairy then? What's the...
I prefer it just because it has more nutrients in it, and I think it's wholesome in that form. And at first, my stomach was kind of like, it like took like a week maybe to adjust to the like bacterium and stuff in it. But I swear my stomach's like can handle anything now just because like it's adapted to raw dairy. My kids drink raw dairy.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, is that pretty readily available?
It is. So there's a farm in Manly that sells raw milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I love that.
Yeah, there are a lot more of those because you're being forced as a dairy farmer, whatever, a row crop farmer, you got to figure out how to survive.
Yeah.
And that's one of the business models,
I guess. Government doesn't love it, but he does it.
No,
and
they
I'm
don't.
Like, I love it. I'm going to come buy from you. So,
even like your chicken farms that are trying to be like free range. Like, oh man, they're catching the FDA left and right.
Yeah.
You know, trying to give them bad time.
When you talk about seafood, do you not eat the seafood because you just don't like the taste? Or is there something different about that you see compared to other meats?
It's more of a taste thing.
Okay.
Like, I just don't love it. I'll eat, like, if my daughters catch, like crappie or something, like I'll eat it. I mean,
fish
I just don't love it. Mm-hmm. I don't love the taste. Yeah. It's probably because my grandpa growing up, we would catch catfish in the lake and then I would skin them with him and we'd eat catfish, which catfish is disgusting. Like it does not taste good. And I ate a lot of catfish as a kid.
It ruined you.
Probably fried. It's good.
Well,
but
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. You're probably not going to eat it
you
fried.
Gotta,
no, right?
You got to fry it.
Yeah.
So I think I just have never like loved fish. I just don't love the taste, but I love fishing and I love that my kids fish and my husband fishes, but
I got kind of an oddball question for you here and put on your nutritionist hat to try and answer this. I was up around Lynch and met a guy at a bar. And, you know, just we're having a little meeting. It was over the noon hour, so we each got a burger. And I'm like, you know, it was kind of a vacation time for me, so I went ahead and got a Busch Light. And he's like, oh, no. Couldn't do that. Can't do that. I don't drink anyway. So he ordered the Dr. Pepper, and it got me thinking, like, which is worse for your body, the Busch Light or the Dr. Pepper? Because I'm on this trip where I think soda is like the worst thing on the planet.
Yeah.
And then, but I get it. It's not like beer's a health food. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is the lesser two evils? And can you kind of give us a breakdown on that?
Oh man, that's tough. Because yeah, I don't drink either. I like a good beer.
Okay.
But usually with training, like, it's like, I'm like, ah, it's just not worth it. Because it really does break your body down pretty mm-hmm. bad. Like, if you look at, like, a cellular level after you drink alcohol, like, just what it does to the cells. And, like, it's a toxin.
Really, so you gotta dries them out, right?
Dries them out. Yeah. And then it's your body has to process that whole thing. Because it's like just putting a toxin into your body. But, yeah, soda's the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, aspartame in it, or what, like with diet sodas, you got a major toxin with aspartame or those artificial sweeteners. Whereas I'm like, shoot, I tell the kids all the time, I'm like, if you're gonna drink a soda, drink one with sugar in it. It's still bad, like really bad, but it's better than drinking artificial aspartame, which is in like everything diet. Anything that's a zero sugar, you should be like, oh, like,
or Diet Coke.
What's in there? Yeah. Like,
the thought was Diet Coke's at least better for you. You know, it tastes worse and it's way worse for you.
No, yeah. I would say both are pretty dang bad. I mean, and like a lot of sodas, you got food colorings in there too. Mm-hmm. And whereas with beer, I mean, I've never really looked at like the ingredients in beer.
Barley,
I guess
hops.
It's just barley, hops, and water.
I mean,
pretty much. Like, I would say it's like less ingredients. So I would give beer the beer.
There
the
we go.
Win.
That's what I was looking for.
Oh,
that's what
you
probably because I like beer better too.
A little bias there. Yeah. That's okay.
I think I heard something that it takes, Kyle, is it almost like 14 days for alcohol to get really
it's
out
a,
of
it's
your
a process it does a lot
system.
To your cells.
I mean, once you drink
why I avoid it pretty much all year, and then you know, like once Nationals is done, then I'll have like a really I'll have a couple beers here and there for like a month or so, and then kind of just like take a break from it again. So
if we go back to red meat and beef, do you have a preference or a thought on grass-fed versus grain-fed?
I prefer grass-fed if I can get it. And Dr. Sean Baker talks a lot about that too. He's like, there's not like a, you know, some people are very like, oh, there's a huge difference. But, you know, he kind of says, he's like, most grass-fed cattle are grain-finished anyways.
Right.
Yeah. And so they get some grains. But for me, I'm like, well, the less grains they're fed, the probably the better, because the research that we have is that grains are just so inflammatory. Like, they just are. And mm-hmm. it totally stinks. And because I love grains, too. Mm-hmm. And I kind of sometimes I miss them. I don't miss them as much now just because I've been off of grains for so long and I was having so many issues with it. But I just think it's the way our grains are fortified here, too, because in Poland, like I had a pierogi, which is flour. You know, you got flour. And then it's like there I never got sick or bloated off of any of their food over there, which was very interesting. But they have a lot less people to feed in terms of like they get all their food local, and it's a small country.
And a pierogi is like a runza?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yep. But like way better. Mm-hmm. It was so good. Oh, it was so good.
Sounds good.
It was amazing. I crave them all the time. I'm like, can we just go back to Poland for a pierogi?
But and I think when you think about it, like with beef, you know, grain fed beef, like it's most of that's just straight out of the field.
For sure.
I mean, it's not, it hasn't gone through some kind of
fortifying
or whatever.
So true. It definitely fattens the cattle, and fat cattle taste good.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah. So, I mean, we try to go grass-fed if we can, just because I feel like that's a natural diet for a cow. You know, it's that regenerative agriculture thing that I'm really supportive of. It's like cattle should be out in the field. They should be pooping on the field. Like, it's regenerative. Mm-hmm. Like, it's what we need, which is funny because people are trying to get rid of cattle because they think it's bad. But really, it's the best thing. I mean, you like look at, there's millions of bison on our, you know, on our land here. Yeah. And it's like, it was all regenerative agriculture, and it was the best thing for the land. And so I do think that, you know, if they're eating grass, pooping on the grass, that's the best thing for them. And I'm sure it reflects in their meat as well. But I'm not against a grain-fed hamburger. I'll eat it.
Yeah.
Happily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a couple guys on here. We have had Upstream Farms. And then,
yeah, so I was
thinking
Piedmontese.
Piedmontese. Oh, yeah. So good.
I was thinking about that when you were talking and almost thinking about just closing out with that. But those two folks, I mean, those would be two places that I would definitely recommend to anybody who's listening to this and is interested in getting more natural, wholesome beef.
Well, and they got a lot of literature and a lot of studies up on their website even. Go check it out. And it's by third parties, too.
For sure. So, the Piedmontese is, I think it's cpbeef.com. Yeah. And those guys have gotten really heavily focused on being grain-fed or grass-fed in particular.
Yeah,
they do. I think they do have a grain-finished kind of section, but most of theirs is grass-fed, grass-finished.
Yep.
And that animal, there's we interviewed those guys, and there's a lot of science behind the muscle fibers in that particular breed of cattle.
Yep.
It's great. It's great meat. Yeah. And then the Upstream guys in Albion, I think it's just upstream.com, they're, what were they, fourth or fifth generation farmers, twin brothers in their early 20s. And we get whole cattle from them.
That's so cool.
Is that what you do? With all the beef you eat?
We're planning on, we need a deep freezer.
Okay.
And so right now we'll just buy, you know, get the grass-fed beef like at the grocery store. And I want to be able to like buy from a rancher and support a local rancher. We just need more storage.
And the thing is, it is so much better and just flavor-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if you did some kind of scientific testing, you know, it's more nutrition dense.
Oh,
100%. It hasn't been through this whole processing.
Yeah.
You know where it's from. You know where it's from.
Right, exactly. 100%.
So cool.
Yeah, it comes straight from
those
guys.
We have some in the freezer here. We'll give you some when you leave.
Yeah, maybe take some, And if you guys get to a point where you do want to start purchasing like quarters or halves or whatever, get with us because we'll help you with that too. But we're firm believers in meat for sure. I mean, that's what we've always ate.
Mm-hmm.
I by far do not overly eat healthy. I mean, we're sitting here. Look, I got my
dots,
cheese curds right here, cheese curls.
They are really good.
But yeah, I mean, it's something that we've been thinking a lot about and looking at. And Morgan's been testing some different diets for herself, for different health reasons and feelings, and you know, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, just wanting to feel better.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, this stuff is super interesting to me. The next thing I wanted to ask you about, you talked a little bit about like the pops and the sodas and those kinds of things. How do you feel about just sugar in general?
I don't eat a lot of it, but at the same time, like if it's in, like if I'm, like the other day, like I want like homemade ice cream, like from like a really good ice cream shop. Like I know there's sugar in it, but I know it's like relatively clean. I mean, it's cream and it's sugar and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not afraid of it, you know, whereas I would say back in college, I was almost like, you know, really afraid of certain foods. And I'm like, that's not a healthy mindset either at all. And so just kind of like that whole moderation, you know, mindset as well. Like I'm not going to feel, I choose foods based off of, I know it's going to make me feel better. I'm going to perform well. My mind is going to be clear. I feel so much better. And I choose foods based off of that. But if like someone offers me homemade ice cream, I'd be like, yeah. You know, but it's just not something that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of it just because of like what you, like the blood sugar spikes that I talk to my students about all the time. Mm. It's like every meal should be protein. Like protein should be your focus with every meal. Like you guys said, you eat meat with almost every meal. Like that's great. That's the best thing you can do, you know, is that every time you eat, it's the main focus is a protein, you know, and then it's like, you know, have some like some berries on the side, like, you know, you have some fructose, some sugar there, you know. And so I just don't, I feel so much better, more in like a ketosis state. Like I'm not like a big, like I don't push keto as a diet, like or anything like that. I personally feel better fueled on fat. And so my main focus is fat. And so I eat a lot of fat because that's my energy source. So you look at protein, like Dr. Ted Naiman talks about this. It's like a triad. So protein is its own thing. Mm-hmm. That's a completely, and then you have your two energies. You have fat and you have carbohydrates, right? And so you're going to get energy from one of those sources. You know, protein can provide, it's interesting, like by eating protein, it then kind of turns within the brain and the body, like it can be, you can get glucose from it, which is very interesting. And so that's how, like, it's like I could eat zero carbs all day, but I've ate so many proteins that Like, I get that glucose still from the protein, which is really interesting. A lot of people don't know that.
Huh.
That's why I'm like, yeah, I feel great. Like, I just, like, the last time I ate was a couple hours ago. You know, if I need to wait hours, I can. And I don't feel like I'm going to, like, you know, like, keel over, which is how I used to be. But now I'm like, nah, I'm just burning fat, you know, until I can eat again. And then when I'm hungry, I eat, you know. And so you got protein and then you got your two energy sources. So you can kind of, you can eat both. Or you can choose one or the other. Like, it's just, you know, it everything works because those are your energy sources. But protein should always be the top focus because that, it does everything. It rebuilds, it repairs, it provides energy, you know, and it's like the, it's your main, main focus all the time. And that's why I try to teach my young students, like, just the simple concepts. And I'm like, and if you focus on whole foods, you know, that doesn't have to be the carnivore diet. That doesn't have to be keto. It doesn't have, but if you're just eating whole foods, like your single ingredient foods, like, you're going to be so much better off.
Yeah.
You know, chicken is chicken. A strawberry is a strawberry. Like, it's, you know, and it's just like a single ingredient food.
Right.
And that should be 80% of your diet. You're going to be feeling so much better because you don't have all these, like, chemicals that your body's trying to process all the time through processed foods. So my main thing that I just suggest to people is avoid processed foods if you can, and just try to stick to whole foods, and you're going to feel so much better. But one thing that people just don't, they think they're eating enough protein and they're not. Like, you should be eating 1 gram per pound of body weight.
I just read that
so,
the other day.
Yeah, and it's like, I probably... if I track, and I don't track a lot, sometimes I do, if I'm, like, kind of feeling off, like, I'll track my food for a day and be like, oh shoot, my protein was too low or my fat was too low. And that's why I feel like this. But usually I'm, like, over 200 grams of protein in a day, and, you know, I'm only 130 pounds. And so I, like, definitely overeat protein, but I'm also trying to, like, conserve a lot of muscle or build muscle. Like, as a sprinter, like, I just need to put on more, but, like, most people are under eating protein, especially women, like, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So we already threw a little bit of shade at the old traditional food pyramid and the new one. And the spinoff of that was there's a huge war, especially in commercials and this and that, on fat.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you say that should have been targeted towards sugar?
Yeah.
But maybe that's what you were kind of going down. Like, talk about sugar, because, man, that is one heck of a rabbit
hole. It's just like, it's just pointless, man. It tastes good, but it doesn't do anything for you. Like, that's kind of how I look at it. I'm like, it just doesn't do anything for me. Like, why... when I can, you know, eat this instead and actually get something out of it. And I know it's like, now when I look at food, I'm like, I know it's helping me and it's healing me and it's doing the things that I need it to do instead of just like, you know, this brownie, like, you know, I'll still eat a brownie here and there, but it's just like,
love brownies.
Yeah. But it's just like, I know it's not going to do anything for me. Like, it's just like, it's just a sugar rush and it comes back down again.
Yeah.
Like, it provides me like a little bit of energy, maybe.
It seems like what happened was that, like you said, that war on fat, you know, and you started seeing the labels on the bags of everything,
fat free,
blah, blah, blah. But what they weren't advertising outright was that, yeah, we pulled all the fat out, but then we plowed it with sugar because it didn't, it took all the taste away.
Yeah, right.
Then the sugar was used as a flavorizer, basically.
Yeah.
My kid's pediatrician, this was, he should have never tried to do this battle with me, but he was like, my son is, he's a big kid. Like, he's like 40 pounds and he's three. And he just, he's, when I was pregnant with him, all I ate was meat and eggs. And he's just a hoss. You know, he's not overweight or anything like that. He's just a big kid.
Yeah.
And my pediatrician was like, well, maybe we can, you know, get him off whole milk now and he can go to skim milk. I go, why? I go, what's so good about skim milk? And he's like, well, you know, less fat. I'm like, so you don't want him to drink juice because it's sugar, but skim milk is okay when really it's just lactose, which is sugar, right? They take all the fat out. It's literally lactose and water. That's what skim milk is. So it's sugar water is what it is. Like, and I'm like, lactose is an oat. It's just like glucose. It's in the same family. It does the same thing. And he was just kind of like, just kind of sat there. I was like, don't even go down there. I was like, so his brain still isn't growing, you're saying? So he doesn't need DHA from whole milk? I was just like, I was ready to go. I was like, I still drink whole milk. I'm like, our brains are always, you know, look at all the Alzheimer's and dementia. Your brain is 60% fat. You need fat.
I watched a kind of a neat evolutionary thing, and just us as a species is kind of we went down this really weird path where we put way too much energy towards our brain. Everything mm-hmm. else, like a deer, mm-hmm. like the energy goes to its muscles to get away from predators. The predators get big muscles and a little bit more brain power so they can catch the prey. Here we are, this thing that, I don't know, are we prey? Are we hunter? I don't know. But we have these really big brains. It takes a lot of protein to operate with, you know? Yeah. So puts more on why eating meat and things of that nature is probably even more important.
When you were talking about chicken, I actually was at the grocery store yesterday. Got chicken, a long story, forgot it. That was dumb. Anyways, I'm going to go back and get it. But it made me think, do you know of a place that raises local chicken? Because we get great beef. Do you eat pork? Because he's done pig. Do you eat pork?
Sometimes. I like bacon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like, and I like ham too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not, it's not my like go-to.
I just feel like I would like that. That crossed my brain. Was thinking, why don't we get chicken?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and we haven't done that. Like as far as like getting chicken directly from the farm, but there absolutely is places. Okay. I mean, if you can hunt around. Like one of our buddies, Luke, he was getting it from a place somewhere around here called John's Naturals.
Oh.
And that was like naturally raised chicken. There's all kinds of them out there. Mm-hmm. There's a guy that I met at this conference we went to that was a veteran farming conference that he's in Michigan, maybe. But he's got a huge, business just raising chickens and selling them. Okay. But it's all kind of local.
I just feel like we always hear about beef. Not as much chicken.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot more commonly purchased, I feel like.
Yeah.
You had kind of touched on it earlier, and I wanted to ask, obviously you focus pretty heavily on your diet and your intake and so on and so forth. Do your kids eat the same way that you eat? Is it all across the household?
Yeah, so they eat pretty similar. I'm a little bit more flexible with them. Like, I'll still buy bread and stuff. Like, I just try to get, healthier breads and grains and stuff for them to eat because they still love, like, a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I just try to get not super processed stuff for them. Yeah. But I try to keep them eating. Like, our family meal is always the same. Like, we all eat the same thing, And it's funny because, my daughters love chips, and so I'll get, chips that are made with like avocado oil or coconut oil or something like that, so they can still have potato chips and stuff, like with if we do like a hamburger casserole or something, or steak or hamburgers. Yeah. And my son doesn't really like chips. He likes pork rinds.
Okay.
And so, because I always have pork rinds in the house, because I'm like, I'll just munch on them or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's hilarious how carnivore like he is with me. And it's like, I always, I'm like, it's because I did a whole carnivore pregnancy with him. It was so fun. Yeah. Like my midwives oversaw everything, like made sure, like, and he was super healthy and everything was great. And it was just like, I'm like, we're gonna do this. Like, I got enough, like, did enough research beforehand and stuff, and he still is kind of, all pork rinds inside of my beef, so yeah. They awesome. they very similar to us. I make sure that they get red meat. It's like a protein with every meal. They eat eggs for breakfast, or yogurt. I do not buy cereal. I won't do it. I've been tempted because it's so easy.
Yeah.
Definitely on school mornings, it's like, I just want to pour some
pancakes
cereal.
Or Eggos.
Yeah,
I'll
buy like the more like organic like waffles and stuff. I don't love them because you look at the ingredients and you're like, there's still canola oil in it or whatever. But like, I'll just try to get cleaner, but I don't want them to feel restricted. And then if we go out to eat, I let them pick whatever they want, because I'm never going to make them feel like, oh, you can't eat that, it's bad. Yeah. Like, I don't want to, because
or they go to their friend's house and they're like,
and just gorge for sure. Yeah. And so I just try to educate them. And so, like, my 6-year-old will tell you, she goes, we eat meat because we want to be strong. And I'm like, you're exactly right, honey. Like, I don't make it an aesthetics thing. I don't make it, a food-fearing thing. Like, it's more of like, okay, we eat these things because they make us strong and they make us smart. And we want our bodies to work really well. We want to feel good. We don't want to get sick and, like, all this stuff. And so we just talk about it all the time. Like, this steak is fueling us and it's giving us so many nutrients and we're going to feel so good. It makes your muscles strong and your brain, like, powerful. And so we just try to educate them just on it as much as possible. Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I had one more question. So quick go-to, like, snacks, bars.
Mm-hmm.
Does that – a thing?
Like, I mean, for me or the kids?
Yeah, for, or I guess either, but more for you.
Honestly, I mean, like, the crazy thing about my diet is I used to, like, when I was, like, obviously younger, I just felt like I always had to have a granola bar on me because mm-hmm. I'd just get hungry all the time. Now it's like, eh. Like, it's like a slow build to hunger. Like, oh, I could probably eat in an hour, mm-hmm. you know? But uh-huh. it's not like, oh my gosh, I need to eat something right now. Like, I never feel that way. And that's the best thing ever about this diet because I'm so fueled on fat that it's like, obviously, we all have body fat. Yeah. And so mm-hmm. if I need to tap into my body fat reserves, if I got to wait a couple hours before my next meal, like, I can. Yeah. And I truly feel like that's how as humans yeah. we've been designed. Like, there's feasts and there's famines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there might be 6 hours where food is not available and your body's got to be able to handle it. And so, and I easily can. I mean, it's, I mm-hmm. definitely have to eat more because I'm so active, yes. like in training, it's very important for me to get food right away. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I'm pretty intentional about that. But then if I have to go, like all I've had today is I had kefir with my prime protein, which is a beef isolate protein. That's all I've had today. I had it right after my workout and then drove here and I'm like, oh, I'll just eat some. I got some chicken sausage in the fridge and stuff that I can eat when I get back. But I'm still like, no. Like, usually I would have ate, like, an hour and a half ago, but I'm fine. Like, I'll make it.
I love that. Okay. You never hear too many dietitians talking about, I'll just go have some chicken sausage. Yeah.
I know. Tyler smoked a bunch of extra for me, so that's a big thing. It's like we have a smoker and throw a ton of meat on there, so I have leftovers because that's big for me because I'll just take a whole bunch of meat to school. And it just, it cracks everyone up. My principal is actually a cattle rancher, too, which is hilarious.
Really?
And so he used to harass me because I was a vegan 10 years ago when I got employed there. And he'd just be like, you need to eat some meat. And I'm like, ooh, whatever. And now all I eat is meat. And so it's just like such a funny joke. Like, he'll see me walking down from the teacher's lounge with just like a massive plate of like a huge steak or something. Like,
can you just see his
small little person. Oh, he loves it.
Just gets bigger and
bigger. He loves it. He loves it.
Oh, my gosh. That's so good.
It's so good. So yeah, I'll do, like, I'll buy those like epic sticks, which are just like elk. Mm-hmm. It's elk, bison, mm-hmm. and I'll just like, if I have to have something on the road, if I know, man, I need a snack. Another
one. Do we have any of those sticks here still? I think we've got some at home. Good. That's one that you should check out. Is Dakota Pure Bison?
Oh.
South Dakota, yes. Their bison meat is so freaking good.
Oh, I love bison, too.
And mm-hmm. they started doing sticks, mm-hmm. and they're 100% bison sticks.
Oh,
they're not
that.
Blended with anything else.
That's nice, yeah. Because that's the problem with Epic, is they're blended with, like, pork and stuff, mm-hmm. and my husband won't eat pork.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, it's tough, because a lot of them are blended, or they have mm-hmm. nitrates in them. It's right. so hard to find something that doesn't have nitrates.
We have
and,
to order some more of those.
Yeah.
So last question I have, and you touched on this, and I don't think we talked about this earlier, but you just said there in a glimpse that you were vegan.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened with that?
Yeah, so I was very easily persuaded by, I don't know if you guys ever saw that documentary Forks Over Knives. It was like a big vegan documentary. Uh-huh. Like, it was probably 12 years ago now. Okay. But once again, it was just my whole, in fact, like, I just have always been so fascinated by nutrition. Mm-hmm. And so I see that, I'm like, oh, whoa, you know, and just kind of like believed mm-hmm. it, which is exactly what it was produced to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I believed it and I went vegan and tried to make Tyler kind of go vegan. And he was like, no way. Cause that was like right when we started dating. Mm-hmm. And I maybe lasted 3 months and my health just fell apart.
And that
and
was,
I was
before
even clean vegan
your
too.
Other stuff. Cause you were saying you were eating chicken.
Yep. Yep, this was after. So I was like, yeah, I was very low fat in college and then tried vegan right after college and just my health just deteriorated. It's hilarious. I'll have to send you a picture. There's a picture of me. I was like running half marathons and stuff as a vegan, still really skinny and don't look unhealthy. But then you take a picture of me now and the muscle that I have on is hilarious. And I was weighed the same. And night and day. Looks like a different person. Yeah. It's so crazy. And I was never overweight or anything like that. But it was, my health was just not. I couldn't put muscle on. My brain fog was terrible because I was eating no fat.
What was that? Forks Over...
Forks Over Knives.
Forks
I think
over
is what it was called.
Cowspiracy was a
very...
Yeah,
that's another one.
Yeah, I mean, but it does. It reels you in.
It does.
And I remember just... And I was kind of privy to some of the stuff. I'm like, that's not right. That's mm-hmm. not right. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, all right, so somebody's paying for this. Who's paying for this? You know, and they did a really good job. They waited till the very end. Almond milk.
ta-da!
I know. It's
like,
so,
oh, get out of
it's
here.
It's so, yeah. It's,
you want to talk about sustainable almond milk?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. How many full Eat the Fat documentaries do you see? Geez. Not very many of them. And if you do, they're low funded.
The one that I saw that was very interesting to me was, I think they called it like Game Changers or something like that.
Yes.
Did you ever see that?
That one roped in a ton of people. Yeah. I was, and that was when I was already a carnivore when that came out. And so it's a lot of like the carnivore doctors and stuff. It was they actually had debates with, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's like, actually, did you know they, you know, they fed gladiators just vegetables to keep them weak so they wouldn't rebel? Because it like makes you so mentally like you have no fat going to your brain. And so they actually did it to like fatten them up a little bit and then make them so they, you know, couldn't mentally like rebel against authority. It's super interesting.
Well, an interesting topic. I think we, you know, just kind of scratched some of the surfaces on it. We probably could talk more about that down the road, but I think it's on a lot of people's minds. There's a lot of things out there, you know, about foods and diets and it's really hard to know which way to go. I think it seems like the moral of the story is that, you know, it is a little bit different for everybody. Like, I don't know for a fact that everyone could do the diet that you're doing and, and still feel good. You know, I talk to people who do vegan diets or whatever, and they seem that, you know, they think it's right for them. They feel like they feel good. You know, they it didn't only take a few weeks or months or whatever for them to feel like crap. They do it for years or whatever. Everyone kind of has a little different thing. But I think one of the things I heard you saying earlier is really, and this is the way that I felt, is to really be in tune with your body. Like, listen to what your body's telling you. You know, if you're craving something, as long as you know it's not straight up trash, it's probably because your body needs it. You know, what is that that you need to to eat at that time or drink or whatever?
Yep, you're exactly right. I think we've really lost touch with, you know, okay, what does my body need versus like, you know, we're so stuck. There's a lot of these foods that have been created intentionally to hook us in, and so we like start craving them more. And when it comes to a process situation, and so I think, and I tell people all the time, I'm like, you don't have to be a carnivore. Like, I'm not going to think any less of you if you want to be a vegan. Like, it's because everyone's different. Like, I have my beliefs on what I think is humanly best, you know, and like the most bioavailable for us. And I truly do think, you know, with the science that I've looked at and everything, I do think meat is super important for humans, but not everyone's going to go that route. And I'm like, you know what? I could have a discussion, a friendly discussion with a vegan. Like, I have nothing, it's not political. Like, I'm, you know, I just think that people need to go back to being in tune with your body and focusing more on food as fuel for good, optimal, you know, human. And just, it's amazing because you don't have to be an athlete. And just when you focus on nutrition, and once you start feeling better and you just feel like you can get through the day so much easier, it's like, it's life changing. You know, it's like, that's just enough right there to not feel like crap. And so it's like, a lot of my teenagers, they just feel like crap. They can't recover. They can't focus in class. And it's just because all they eat is processed food and
Mountain Dew.
Do you drink a ton of water?
I do.
Okay.
But I'm kind of like, I think we should drink water when you feel like drinking water. Like, it shouldn't be like, oh, I have to get two of these down in a day. Like, I think that it's all kind of based on, like, in the summer I drink a lot more just because I know I'm losing, you know, a lot of fluid, and I make, and I'm a huge salt person, so I make sure to get in a lot of salt too because I know I'm also losing that. But I'm not, I'm like, I drink a lot of water, but I just drink it based off of like, okay, like, I'm thirsty, I'm going to drink water.
It goes, and that goes back to what
saying. Natural instincts.
Listening to what
you're saying. But other than that, coffee, water.
Coffee and water is pretty much it for me.
Interesting. Well, this was Christina Elder.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Oh, I love it.
Thanks again. It's been a great, great discussion.
It was wonderful. I learned a lot, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I know.
I mean, Andy's going to go crack a Mountain Dew, but.
Double Dew.
Mountain Dew sounds good.
All righty.
All right, cool. Well, I'm going to close it out. Thanks again.
Thank you.
See ya
later.